Thank you, Jesus. Presence, that's what we want, right? And we appreciate the presence, God, more than anything else, just having His presence. Sunday was wonderful. We took off Sunday night. We'll be back this Sunday night. We're going to start confessions again and doing things, but we've got a couple more sessions of Pastor Jim's teachings, and which is wonderful. And it was all on the end time events. It was done in 2020, so we've been reviewing those. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you've been watching any of the RNC, but it's been very good. I encourage you to watch if you get the time. I hope you're not of the, maybe you don't want to watch, and that's fine, and maybe you got other things, but I hope you're not of the disposition like, I'm too spiritual for that. And if I don't do that, then that shows God that I'm really a spiritual person. And so I know you don't have that attitude. It's just, you'd probably be, you know, if you got other things to do, that's fine. But there's been really some wonderful things and some wonderful speeches and a lot of glory to God. And it's been really, really wonderful. I saw something from our coming commander-in-chief, a disposition from him without words, a true humbling that was on his face, and you could see just by the demeanor that something has changed. Amen. Something has really, really changed, and I believe that this is going to come to his really knowing God. And some people say he's already, that's, you know, but I'm talking about radically know God. Amen. And I really believe that this is going to work to his good. So there's been some really good speeches made, and just common people. A man come last night, forward, 30s, handsome, intelligent, walked out with his family, I think his two sisters, and told about the experience that he and his family have, you know, suffered in the last, well, it's recent. Nation knew about it, was the young woman in Maryland that was savagely raped and murdered, and it was one of the worst cases of that kind had ever taken place in the state of Maryland. And he talked about, and it wasn't just a pitch towards illegal immigration, but it was so wonderful how that he said, and it was amazing, he didn't just say God. He said, we have come through this thing because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he said something that goes beyond, it's the message of here, but it goes beyond the perimeters of where most Christians, 99% of most Christians live. He said, we are praying for that Jesus saves this man that did this horrible thing to my sister. And to say that is, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. And so we praise God that there's a message going out, and let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm not scared that somebody leaves the church or leaves viewing me because of my outspokenness towards what I believe and where I believe that we should be going as a nation. So anything other than that, I believe you're a weak person, a weak pastor, and scared of opinion, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, when you pray in tongues and then you walk in the love of God has no fear. So, and I just know you're with us, all of you that are watching. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to follow the Holy Spirit. We worship you, Jesus. Well, we're going to start. We'll see how we do on time on viewing something, because I think it's very applicable to where we're at tonight. But I want to take us back. You know, when the Holy Spirit says something prophetically, we should and there's so many prophecies that we never get to, and maybe we should get to all of them and rehearse them. It's not mandatory, but it's so vital that we honor God when he speaks and rehearse, because you'll forget. And we put all the prophecies back there. We put them all on the website. And we're going to, have you already passed this one out? Would you do that, please? Thank you. This one came about just a couple of weeks ago. And the title is, and I'll say for everyone that's watching, you can go to our website, and most of you already know where to find these, so I'm not going to go into all that. But this one is on our website, and it's Take the Right in the Y. And Y is the letter Y in quotation. And it kind of spells out, it's a good title. It's a very good title. But I want us to look at it again together, because it was spoken on June 30th. So that's just a couple of weeks ago, at the end of June. And it's a message the Holy Spirit wants for this church and for those that are watching. And I believe that it also speaks to the message that we're going to look at in our short period of time that we have here tonight. But Take the Right in the Y is the name of this prophecy. So the Lord said that morning, or that day, he said, many are watching, many watching, and many here are on a crossroads. There's a Y. You're coming closer and closer to decision makings. And so I'm going to stop here when I hear him stop me. So not always, but sometimes when I am speaking a word of prophecy, a picture will appear. Well, a picture appeared, I believe that's a Sunday morning prophecy. It doesn't matter when it was, Wednesday night or Sunday. But I distinctly, just very, very distinctly, when the Lord began to prophesy this, I was the person in personification. I could see what the Lord was prophesying. I saw myself standing in a place, and I saw a road going this way to my right and a road going this way to my left. It was very distinct. I mean, as I was prophesying, I could see it. And I don't always get pictures, but sometimes I do. And this was a very vivid picture that I was seeing, and it was a symbolic or typification of the message that the Lord was speaking to all of us, and to speaking to specific people that were here and people that were listening. Now, he's going to talk about the why, and the why that I saw was I was standing in the crux, and I was standing in this crux, but the why went to the road went to the right and to the left. So it was kind of easy for me in the sense of prophetic to just say what I saw. And so as I was seeing this, I saw a decision-making processes that were taking place and the Lord prophesying it. So I'll now read, and I don't know how far I'll read before I say something again, but the Lord is saying in this, take the right and the why. And of course, that could be a play on words, but it's more than a play on words. There's no distinction as far as in spirituality between your right hand and your left. I mean, your left is not inherently evil and your right is righteous, but the Lord's describing direction here. Does everybody got that? The Lord is absolutely describing direction. Many watching and many here are on the crossroads. There is a why. You're coming closer and closer to decision makings. Some will make the right choice and some others will not. By reason of my sovereignty, I can see your future. One road is to choose a life of laying down your life. The other one is another one of subtlety that says, here's the subtlety, I can do this, I can do this, whatever this is, and still lay down my life. And you'll find that the further you go on that road, he's describing something of deception here, the more you'll be separated from the truth. I'm not seeing, the Lord was saying this, not me, but the Lord was saying as he was seeing in his sovereignty as he addressed that. I'm not seeing those that I'm describing as winding up in hell. Well, that's good news. I'm describing you walking in a self-fulfilled, indulgent life where everything circumvents around you. And you still call yourself being blessed of the Lord, and yet consuming your own life by your life. But I'm offering you a better choice. Take the why. Take the right in the why. Because you'll find out that the further you go, the more that I'll come and lavish myself upon you in presence. And that's what we want. Distinctive, distinguishing God's voice presence. And your desire will be to know me more and more than you desire to know the world or any blessing that is of the world, says the Spirit of grace. And by the way, this is the Lord, by the way, you'll find that if you'll take the right in the why, that you'll end up among many that chose right to be thoroughly blessed. You can't do willing and obedience produces eventual blessing, right? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But the choices are very, very subtle and very disguising. I hear the Lord say, very disguising, you won't have the ability in your smarts to make the decision that I'm describing presently. You won't even have the ability, being a good person, to make these decisions. The only inoculation that you'll have against taking the left in the fork, you must spend avid hours praying in the Holy Ghost. He is your inoculation against self-deception, even that which won't cause you to wind up in jeopardy of hell, but you will be 10 degrees off and then 20 degrees off and still think that you're right where you need to be. So spend the hours, whether privately or going down the road, and he offers us that, even going down the road, praying much in the Holy Ghost, says the Spirit of grace. Well, that's a really good one. That's just all God. Hallelujah. There's a scripture. Let me see. Should have had it printed. But this is in Jeremiah. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read out of the Amplified. This is in Jeremiah 6:16, and it's an Amplified version. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the eternal paths. Where, I like the way the Amplified says this, where the good old way is. The good old way. The good old way. Where the good old way is, then walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But of course, in Jeremiah, just to finish the verse, they said, we will not walk in it. That was a prophecy to fallen Israel. They had gone too far, and that whole chapter starts out with the king of the north is coming, and Babylon's coming, and they crossed a line. They were going to be judged. I will say this, we here in America, and you individually listening to this, if you need course corrections, and America's taking a course correction, and I believe we're going to see an incredible course correction, the distinguishing between us and the prophecy to Jeremiah, it was too late, and there was nothing else to happen but what was going to happen. And it even went that way after Josiah. But America is at a point, and maybe you are individually watching or listening, where course corrections will recalibrate you and bring you back where you need to be. And I am so confident that God is bringing America back to a place where we're going to see a spiritual outpouring that's going to result in a reformation, a real reformation, something like Josiah had in his day. So it's not too late for us. So I'm saying the end of verse 16 is not, thank God, totally applicable for us in the sense of the word where we're not listening. We're saying, yes, Lord. And as many as have ears to hear, we're saying, yes, Lord. But what about the path? And we're going to read, I think, part or all of January or July. Where I'm getting ahead of myself. It'll be January before July's letter. But let me read. You can do this with me. You can look at it in your Bible. Go to Proverbs. You know, that's right past Psalms. Proverbs chapter, I didn't print the verse, but I wrote it out. Chapter 4, verse 18. Because we're going to talk about, in the time we have, about returning to the old. And what's the old? Or the good old path. You know, Sue Carpenter, Gary Carpenter's wife, wonderful, wonderful, godly lady. And Gary will tell you she's the best thing that ever happened to him besides Jesus. She had a prophecy or a word of wisdom that she shared with Gary and the body of Christ a number of years ago. It's been a number now. It just seems like overnight, but it may have been 7, 8, 10 years ago. She said, the Lord said to her, and this is a prophetic word to all of us, the Lord said, rewind so I can fast forward. In other words, go back. Go back where? Go back to the foundation. Go back to the path. Rehearse and do the things that you were taught from the beginning. So in essence, I can take you and escalate and take you forward at a rapid rate. But we can't ever forget. And we can't ever walk away. And we can't ever look at this. Look at this verse here. I think I gave you, I don't know if I gave you the verse, but chapter 4, I got there, get there myself, verse 18 is a powerful verse. But it says, the path of the just, Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just, that's you and I, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto what? A perfect day. Is everybody there? Amen. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is that telling us? It's telling us this. If you're on the path, and if you're doing the path, you just keep walking into more light. There may be more fight. There may be more, at times the enemy throws things at you. But what this is telling us is that a man or a woman or you out there or us in here, we don't do the path and wind up in darkness. Can I get an amen? In other words, the person, the man, the woman, anybody, individual that says, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I wound up in this darkness. Now, this isn't to be condemning. This is to justify staying on the path. If you wind up in darkness, because the word says, he leads me in the path of righteousness. Psalms 23. If you wind up in darkness, or if you wind up in, let's say, unforgiveness, where you're really, that's really part of your life. Here's an announcement based on the Word of God. You've stopped doing the path. Well, I don't believe that, Pastor. No, listen. You could take this, put your hand on it, this one. I am doing it. And yet, I don't know how I wound up in darkness, or I don't know how I wound up in unforgiveness. You know, people, some people, God bless them, they've left, departed from us at times, really upset, angry, walking in some unforgiveness. I hope they're healed. I honestly do. But somebody might say, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Listen, here's the truth. Here's the truth. If the word of God is true, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. In other words, you keep going into more love. You keep going into more righteousness. The only reason why you can ever go back into darkness to any degree is because you stop doing it. Oh, I need some amens in here. I will die. I'm not being facetious, but I will die on this one mountain. Here's a tombstone. You climb up to the top of the mountain. Hey, there's somebody died over here. Really? Yeah, here's a tombstone. Let's brush it off. There's a tombstone. What's the tombstone say? Pastor Bronk Flint, January 12th, 1960. Let's not put an end on it yet. What's the tombstone say? This man died on this mountain believing this, that if you walk in darkness, you're not on the path. You've stepped off of it. If you walk in unforgiveness, even though you say, listen, even though, how can I say this in love to everyone watching? I'll say it in as much love and ginger as I can. Sweetie, pumpkin, buttercup, love. Amigo, compadre, you, though you might not believe this, I'm not calling you a liar. A liar is somebody that's just habitually, but if you say you're not, if you say, I'm on the path and I'm doing the path and I wound up in unforgiveness and in darkness, sweetie, you're lying. You've dropped something. Something stopped. This guy died on this mountain believing that if you keep doing this, you'll walk in. But hallelujah, isn't it great that we can all just recuperate and go into righteousness and follow God? Let me read for you, because I know you all have received this month's letter. But learning comes from repetition, right? And Sunday, I exhorted this, and even some last week, but I wrote this out. And writing it out kind of gives an inevitable kind of, you know, more essence to it. So I want you to listen. I hope you've, if you get our letters, I hope you've read it. If not, it should be in your inbox or you've got it in the mail. But I think it's so applicable to the message tonight for the instruction that that we continue to do. Pastor Dave says this, he used to say this, you'll lose 20 years of your life if you don't do what, you know, you'll wake up 20 years later and say, where have I been? I mean, all the stuff that I got messed up in and tangled in, the path of the righteous is as a light. What does that mean? Is if I go back and I stay in tongues, and I stay in the word, and stay in fasting, and stay in the pillars that we've laid out for years, there's only one path, And that path will take you into more and more. The more you go into the path, the more you're enlightened by the path. Amen? And even things that you can't see about yourself that maybe everybody else sees, or your wife tells you, or your husband or whatever, and you'll just swear that is not right. But, you know, deception is, that's part of that part of us that has to change as we keep going further and further into the light. All that's revealed. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read this, and I want us to watch something in a few moments, because I believe it's also very applicable, because it has something to do about going back to the path, going back to the old, staying on the old, staying on the repetition of things. But this is where we have to be. And I hope this is where you're at. I'm not saying I am here totally. I'm just saying that I recognize this, and this is very, very important. And the title of this particular paper was called Total Dependency. Total Dependency. And it's very important that every one of us position ourselves in a total dependency upon the Lord for where we need to go in the days ahead for this revival. When Jesus spoke from heaven to the Apostle Paul and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," and that's in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it brought Paul to a conclusion. Paul concluded, after multiple requests to God for help, that it was no longer his strength that could provide the encouragement necessary to win against the battle at hand. Paul realized that any further strength coming from himself would only be futile. There had to be one and only one conclusion. It could not be by might nor by the power of Paul himself, but it must come from the strength provided by grace that comes only by the Spirit of God, or from the Spirit of God. Paul was exasperated. You ever been there? Emotionally and physically, having to contend with a demonic spirit assigned to stop him from preaching the gospel. Everywhere he turned, this spirit seemed to show up to buffet him with afflictions and persecutions. There seemed to be no escape. But escape came from Christ in a way that Paul had not expected. The escape required another level of spiritual growth on Paul's behalf. Paul had to mature in his spirit man. Have you ever been asked on this journey by the Holy Spirit in prayer to grow up to another level? I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. Hallelujah. Paul had to mature in his spirit man. This was not something that Jesus could do entirely for him, but it was rather a decision only Paul himself could make. Paul had to decide to switch his dependency from the strength of his own flesh to total, all caps, total dependency on Christ. Depending on his own intellect, reasonings, or any other outside source of encouragement was no longer an option. Grace alone would have to fill Paul's heart for the strength necessary to keep fighting, no matter the outside evidence against him. Hallelujah, Jesus. When Paul became transformed by this revelation, his whole internal attitude changed. Once he was able to reconcile this truth inside himself, he wrote these words: "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Hallelujah, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. You know, Homer don't have to be the only person giving me. I appreciate that. I can take it from all of you. This is the message of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. True humility that results in victory comes from a place of switching one's total dependency from self to God's grace, believing what God says about us or our situation, despite how we feel or any evidence that is contrary, is the act. That's the act of humility, or humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The following verses in 1 Peter give us the result of this kind of humility and dependency. Just continuing on in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have a promise from God that if we will humble ourselves and believe him despite the circumstances, he will bring us to a perfect place that is established in strength and totally settled. The prophet Zechariah spoke these prophetic words to Zerubbabel in Zerubbabel 4:6. Zechariah, thank you. Then he answered and spake unto him, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah spoke these prophetic words from God to encourage Zerubbabel not to quit. He had been commissioned by God to rebuild the destroyed temple back at Jerusalem. When the work stopped for 16 years and the people became discouraged and distracted from their assignment, Zerubbabel must have felt like Paul when he cried out in total exasperation, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, interprets out in the New Testament to mean my grace is sufficient for you. To Zerubbabel, it meant you're not the one doing this. This strength and empowerment is coming from some place and someone else besides yourself. To Jesus, now here's our prime example, who walked in this place of total dependency on the Father, it meant, John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. Jesus himself knew that it was not by might, nor by power of himself, but by the spirit of him, of his Father. All miracles, all judgment, all strength of perseverance was not of himself, but from the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. Amen. In the same way today, when we say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, what we're saying is that we can do nothing of ourselves. It is the Spirit of the Father standing in us in the person of Jesus Christ. This is where we find the strength never to quit,
never to back down from the flesh, the world, or Satan's forces. We will not be discouraged by any present tense report from our bodies, emotions, or any outside force. The shout from the enemy that revival will never take place is drowned out by our total dependency on this one word alone, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I mentioned here in the years gone by that there have been certain prophetic words that have come to us here in Immokalee that are applicable to the entire body. That's you watching as well of Christ. I believe these words speak specifically to this message concerning the victory that comes through total dependency. And I pray they bless you. This word came 2010. What's that? 14 years ago this May. Know this. This is you cannot change yourself. And we added this in on the letter because it's good. Know this. That when you stand, but when a standard of excellence is revealed by my word, let me start that again. Know this, that when a standard of excellence is revealed by my word and saturated to the ears of the hearer, and an awareness comes of a desire by the Spirit to bring you higher, and when things of the Spirit are taught and understood, understand this, even when they're taught and understood, that even as I place that standard within you, that you must always rely on with everything in you that I am the one only who changes you from glory to glory, says the Spirit of grace. For the enemy and the flesh will take a message like this, or like this way, and even use it against you and your senses to present yourself by yourself and your flesh unknowingly in your best efforts. But know this, that it is not by might nor by power, but is by my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. You cannot change you by looking at you. Not for a moment, not even a glimpse to look back and to see if that part of you has changed. Know this, that human effort cannot change you, nor do I take delight in it. But know this, I take delight in the one who gives themselves over to me, knowing that their total dependency is not upon them attaining to a standard, but upon me working my grace in them towards that standard of truth, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. So I would just encourage you is this. I'm going to read this next prophecy. I don't think we're going to be able to do the next thing. It was always in the air in my spirit, whether we would. But here's the message. We've got one other prophecy to read. Not by might nor by power. I've said this so many times before, and I know that I'm still doing it an injustice, but there's so many more ways the Lord will give us it. But he'll convey this. If you just do this, it's like an escalator or a moving sidewalk at the airport. Now, you can walk on it, and you'll move faster. But if you just get on it, it moves you from point A to B. And so human effort doesn't, like, how can I say this, Lord? In my years of, and I have not arrived, and I'm not saying I'm above anybody, but I'm saying that in going forward and change that has ever taken place in me, there's been times where if I saw something that I thought was not Christ-like or something that needed to change, sometimes when I would go before the Lord, I would try to put that out there in front. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray about things that you see, but in those hours of worship or fasting or prayer, a lot of times I would see that was the image in front of me, and I wanted to get that changed so that I could go on with God. And anything that's less than the perfect image of Christ needs to be changed. But here's how you change things. And this is the message of that particular prophecy. It's not by you holding you in front of you. It's by you holding him by the image of his word. And when you begin to look at him and see him, it's like stepping on that moving sidewalk. You're going to either spend the hours in frustration saying, I'm changing. I don't like this about me. Or else you're just going to yield to him and spend whatever time, I say hours, whatever the time is, yielding to him and letting the Holy Spirit, because it's through the Spirit, that's a small s, but then it interprets out to a big s, it's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the body. Should the deeds of the body die? Yes, but you cannot kill them through your strength. This is where he's saying, not by might nor by power. So spend the hours, and when he brings anything to you and he gives you the grace to say yes and you submit, it's through his grace, but it's not by might nor by power. Does that make sense? Do you see that? Because that's a comfort if you allow it to be a comfort. Humble yourself that he may exalt you. This is a prophecy, November 12th, 2023. So that's just this past November. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, but the righteous the Lord redeemeth. For whosoever will humble himself, humble themselves, know this, that they will be exalted. For I'm calling you as a body, those who are going into the walk of the Spirit. I'm calling you and reminding you of a continual place of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that I may exalt you in due time out of your troubles, that you may stand as a generation to receive this outpouring of my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. It does not matter what the enemy comes with to your life presently. And many of you are fighting battles on different fronts. But know this, I am able and willing and will exalt you out of it, that you may stand far above the battle at hand, says the Spirit of the Lord. It's my desire to exalt you, that you may be my ambassadors in the earth and to bring forth the glory that comes by my Spirit, reaching into every man's world and showing forth this anointing, says the Spirit of grace. Humble yourselves. Do not rely upon the intellect. Do not rely upon your genius or your smart, but stand in me and continue to lift up holy hands and know that I am exalting you, exalting all of you who will humble yourself. And my exaltation is to fill you with my peace, fill you with my authority, and cause you to rise up head and shoulders above every and any attack that the enemy could bring. For I see your destiny. I prophesy to you out of the future into the present, for I see all of those standing in this house, that's the church, and those who are watching. But if you will give yourself and continue to cry out, Lord, in caps, Lord, I know nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. My total dependency and all judgment to judge all things is upon you, Lord. Then know this of surety, that I will surround you and I will lead you forth, and you will look back and you will look back and say, he brought me through. Only to know this, this is what we have to continually put in front of us, that the war in front of all of us, as the kingdom of God is to come, will each time be won as it was before, in a place of surrender and humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. So rejoice in this hour, knowing that your future has already been determined through my grace. You will overcome. You will be highly exalted, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. It encourages me. Are you encouraged? Yes. To fall back on that grace, to fall back on that place, knowing that all dependency brings us to a place of true change.
Because we can't change ourselves. But if we look on Him, all things are possible through Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand. We give you a few minutes tonight, early. Let's agree together. I so much, and I believe, I don't think I'm saying something that you don't want. I believe you want it as much as I do. I hope you do. I'm not looking for chairs to be filled for the purposes of the numerical value. But I want souls of harvest. When I said Sunday, I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I want all of those deviants. We want the street people. We want the people that are messed up. We want the people that are dressed up. We want the people in between. So let's get ready for a harvest, because I'm telling you, if you cry out to God for this, He's going to give it to you. But get strong. Don't deny what He's asked us to do. Hallelujah. It's funny for all of us, I think. All of us, I think we can all identify with this. And I know I'm closing a little bit long, but I still got 10 minutes. But I won't cause it to be 10 minutes. But, you know, the Lord will say to us, I know this, nobody can identify. I'm going to speak to a bunch of people far, far away. Okay, it's not even the people watching, okay? It's going to be somebody that watches this a long time from now. But the Lord will tell you, you need to be praying such amount. If I said hours, some of you would say, that's too much for me. Whatever He tells you. But if the Lord said 3 years ago, I want you to pray in 2 hours a day, it doesn't matter if you go 5 years from there not doing it. That was the last instruction. And here's the thing, I don't know if you know this, it's incredible. He never forgets. It's amazing. God never forgets anything. It's like, I know He said that 3 years ago, but I've not been doing that, so He's probably got a new plan now. The new plan is the old plan. Get on the path. Start doing, if you're not doing, what He told you. When you get kind of sideways, the only thing to do is to go back and say, wait a minute, what was the last clear thing I knew that He said? Well, you said, give me an hour or an hour and 45 minutes or, you know, whatever He said. Time doesn't cause Him to forget. It's amazing. But if you get right back on the path, the day you get back on, grace starts to be multiplied. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. We praise You. We give You all the glory for Your goodness and mercy and grace. Help us to stay on the path, not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit. Father, thank You that You baptize us with this grace on a daily basis. And Lord, we thank You that You're so, so merciful, so loving, so forgiving, so precious. In all Your ways, You are wonderful. We give You all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have something to give tonight, you can give it as you leave. Did we get most of the service? Everybody kept watching. Praise God. I hope you got your text and stayed with us. God bless you. We will see you Sunday. Amen. Blessings.